Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan
Braden Holtby.
And here's the Power Play Point podcast starring our mom, Anna Knox.
And some yucky guy named Blue Liner.
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point podcast. And yes, I'm back. Yes, it's me. Good old Blue Liner on point, back on the show. had to get one last word in, didn't you?
I did. See, this is a good thing we didn't record yesterday on April Fool's, because I'm sure I would have had some fun with you. But yes, welcome back, Gil, to your show.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So I had a bit of issue with Hostus Interruptus. Thanks to the wonderful person you just heard now, that's being the mermaid memeing mentalist, the beautiful, wonderful Anna Knox.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I've properly introduced her.
Here.
Who stole my show out from under me.
I did, kidding. And I'll do it again.
I'm kidding.
So much fun.
I'm kidding. But actually, before I forget, though, I do want to thank you, especially, and all six of our call-in guests.
They were fantastic.
Made a wonderful, wonderful show last week. Thank you to all. Laura from The Big Stick, Nicole Giordano, Rochelle Wilcox, Lisa Desabre, Fee McKinnon, and of course, my lovely wife, Jenny.
Yeah.
Thank you all for calling in. And yeah, it was, I had the pleasure of listening to it in the background and of course listening to it again for editing. And it was such a pleasure to listen to. And Lisa, don't hate me for this, but I especially want to thank you for redefining what it is to rock the red.
Oh yeah. Seriously, and, right? How sexy was that?
Yeah. And folks, if you don't know what I mean, you're just going to have to re-listen to the show. You're just going to have to catch the episode. And that, of course, was episode number 100. We are finally in triple digits and beyond.
Woohoo!
So, and a lot has happened that we didn't cover last week since then and now. Chock full of news items to go through, as well as some issues within the Caps fan base that I've noticed that I want to go over. Anna and I usually catch up, but absent of that, I think we're going to have to abandon that for this week, because we're, like I said, we got so much to cram in. So let's just go ahead and dive in. All right. So as far as the on ice activities, we are also going to skip the our traditional recaps of the game. Basically, in my opinion anyway, if you want at least a microcosm of how the Caps have been doing on the ice, you need look no further than the last two games that were played, the last night and the game before against Tampa. Last night, of course, was the big laying of the egg. I don't know if it was yet another letdown or what happened, but as I posted in our Facebook page, the first periods kind of told it all, chock full of meh, and I knew it wasn't going to be good. I gave it till the second period, and I don't know about anybody else. I'm sure there were others that stayed, but I gave up after the second period when they went down by 4 at the end. Understand, yes, they did make a comeback, but it was too little too late, and they ended up losing 5-3. Of course, game before against Tampa, they played their hearts out, gave Tampa a righteous spanking.
Always a good thing.
Always a good thing, yes. Always a good thing. And so that game, I think, probably the best game they have played all year. I would dare to say. That game had everything in it. Great skating, great puck movement, goals, and a fight especially. And some would say that was...
It wasn't just a fight.
Oh, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It was not just a fight. That was a statement beatdown.
Goddamn Tom Wilson kicking ass with that right hook.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? That's it. He summed it up right there. The other guy's egging him on, whatever. And he came out, did what he does best, rocked it. You know, to like penalty, whatever. The other guy got the same thing. I don't even want to say his name. And no suspension. So you know what? It was a clean fight, and that's what people needed to see. Was, you know, he was push, and we knew it was gonna come at some point. And hey, if you're asking for it and you're poking the bear, well, that's on you. So I was all for it. And Orpik too. He got a little moment in, and I was like, yeah, you go, number 44. But I agree with you. I think that of all the games last week, Tampa was hands down the best. They looked fantastic. They looked relaxed. They looked happy. I think everyone was just, you know, out there having a good time. You know, just who scored and the numbers and, you know, the chemistry and everything between the players is always awesome. Last night was, I don't know if they just needed to beat Tampa and now they're just going to kind of coast for the next three games, which isn't always smart, but maybe they just don't want to push it too hard to avoid injury. I have no idea. I can't really justify it, but they sucked last night. I watched it all the way till the end, was like, snore. So.
Well, yeah, last night's game, no, apparently they made a comeback, but it in all in the third period. So it was the complaint that we have about them in reverse. You know, they usually play well for the first two periods and then go to sleep in the third. Well, this was the opposite, apparently.
Right.
But again, too little, too late. But getting back to the Tampa game, it was yes, that not only were the goals a sight to see, but yes, I'm not one to glorify violence, but for better or for worse, it's a hallmark of the game. It can get to be that way. And if it's ever anything that I have ever agreed with our commissioner, the evil Gary Bettman, he once said that fighting serves as a barometer for what happens on the ice. And that could not have been truer. So what I mean is by that is when you notice that fight, as Anna just described it, Tampa Bay was trying to push the physical play, which, as she aptly put it, poking the bear. I mean, it's like a gnat literally trying to bother a bear. You're trying to match up in a game that they really ought not be messing in. And the climax of that was Tom Wilson knocking Eric Chernak colder than a polar bear's ass.
Knocking a tooth out.
That too.
Well, and here's the thing. We're hitting into the playoffs. This is not Tommy's first year. This is not Tommy's first fight. So you've seen it. He was suspended at the beginning of the season. He had, you know, a shit ton of penalty minutes last season. He's got them this season, whatever. So if you honestly think you're ready to drop the gloves and go up against it, then, hey, you know, you have what's coming to you. Like, there should be no surprises. You know, you look at a Tom Wilson and there's not one that you want to go up against. And then you look up, you know, my number 13 when he was fighting like a week or so ago. It was, you know, I think there were some of us out there that were like, no, not Jacob Rana. Don't hurt him. With Tommy, I'm like, fuck yeah, take him down. You know, do it. You know, because Rana's not there yet. Tommy, when he first started, was, you know, just kind of angry. And now he is just ripped and ready to go and has all the skill. So I think, you know, you're going to go mess with Tommy. It's like, the hell are you thinking? You mess with Ronnie, you know, it's not okay, but you know, he's not a fighter. So that's just, you know, it's just stupid on people's end. But I do have to say, I respect the player for posting the picture of the missing tooth and saying that it was a fair fight with Tom Wilson, because certainly no other player has ever said that. And certainly the opposing fan base has never acknowledged it, because he's always coming out as a dirty player. So I liked the gesture, and I don't like the player, but I liked the gesture. And I was like, you know, hey, you admitted that you dropped the gloves with 43 and he beat your ass and lost a two. So there you go.
And one last thing to comment on that. As well as the total on ice results, the NBCSNDC crew has made mention many times that there is no match. There doesn't seem to be a match or an answer for the quote unquote Tom Wilson element. And it's not just, I just want to make the point that it's not just the fact that if you challenge him or give him a reason to, he will beat you down.
Right.
It's not just that.
Exactly.
It is the physical element of his play. It is the fact that he can hurt you in so many other ways besides that. So that right there is the total package. That right there has to be something that other teams have to find a way around, and that is why he's on the first line. So I just wanted to put that out there again. I know we know it, but in case other fan bases are listening to the show, hi, that's, you know, that's what it's all about. He's not a goon. He's not out there to rack up penalty minutes. He's out there for a purpose, to make it difficult for the opposition to do what they are trying to do.
So. Right. And he's moved from being a physical fighter on the team to being a damn good top line player. So, you know, he is the total package. I mean, come on. So, but yeah, anyways, I loved it. I thought they looked so fantastic in Tampa Bay. And honestly, I don't know. Maybe I'm just being naive and thinking that I understand that, you know, we got the Montreal tomorrow and of course the Islanders, but you know, if they're not given 100% the next two games, is that really so bad?
Well, see, here's the thing, though. They have something to play for, and that's the division title. I mean, it is still up for grabs. And, of course, with that comes home ice advantage through, very least, the first two rounds of the playoffs. And it's probably going to be only those two rounds where they have home ice. So, I mean, I would think they would come up with a better effort with, you know, at least that at stake alone. But,
like you said, you watched part of the game last night or however much of the game. Did you see when Ovi kind of went up against the boards and, you know, it like awkwardly, you know, his neck kind of did this like weird thing and he was kind of holding after.
Yeah, he got clipped with a high stick is what happened. I thought he
slammed into the boards, but okay. But whatever it was, but like there's the perfect example of somebody that we are, you know, not just putting on a pedestal because, you know, statistics, but yeah, statistics, his leadership, he's our captain, you know, mad respect for him across the board. Wouldn't it suck, you know, to have him go out with an injury so close to playoffs? So, you know, if they kind of pull back a little bit, but I don't know. I'm on the fence. Like, again, I want them to, you know, beat the Canadiens tomorrow so that we can, you know, get that division win. Yes, of course. But I don't want it to be at, you know, the cost of somebody getting injured like another Kempney.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And for those of you who haven't heard, the word came out today that Unfortunately, number six, Michael Kempney, will be lost to the Washington Capitals for 4 to 6 months due to a torn hamstring.
God, how painful does that sound?
I don't even want to. I'm getting flashbacks to when I broke my leg, and that, yeah, that's not, that's no, that's no fun at all. So other on-ice news, of course, Ovechkin got his 50th of the year in the Tampa game, and that was his eighth time doing that. And there are only, as has been said, there's only two other players that have done that, and they're both featured Hall of Famers. So he's in pretty good company. We're not going to beat that to death, but also be remiss in not pointing that out. But just to close out that part of it and answer your argument, I'm of two minds as well, but I think there's more of a danger in letting the foot off the gas at this point because we are so close to the playoffs. And if you change your mentality for even a brief moment, it's very, very, very hard to turn it back on again. This is a lesson the Caps have already learned.
True.
As far as how to get through the regular season. So
I mean, like I said, I was just playing devil's advocate.
I know. I get that.
You know, it's so hard. You want him to be rested and healthy because of that ridiculous flu outbreak was like a domino effect in the locker room.
Boy.
It's terrible. Then you have, you know, Kempney injury and it's like, oh shit, you know, like what's going to happen? You just want to be careful, but you also don't want to play like crap. You want to keep that momentum going. So like, I see it. I just want them to, you know, play their hardest, but just, you know, no more fights, Tommy. Although I do think Robbie said this last night and I absolutely agree with him. I think he's got one more in him in the Islanders. And I'm hoping it's against Clutterbuck because I hate him.
Yeah, you mentioned the flu bug. I thought I heard Ovechkin cornered about that in a presser, and I think he was asked about it. Nice timing there, Anna.
I was trying to get the mute button, and obviously it didn't work. So I was like, great, I'm going to sneeze, and
it's all fine. Right.
Like
I said, yeah. That was absolutely great timing. But I heard he was asked about it in a post-game presser, and he looked the reporter in the eye and said, hey, look, I said not suck back-to-back, not sick back-to-back, or something like that.
I'm pretty sure he didn't say that, but that's okay.
Okay, well, moving on. We just now mentioned him, and he's waiting in the wings, but we do have a special guest that will be joining us a little bit later. Yeah. That actually wasn't on purpose. but yeah, thanks for calling me out on that one.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, always. But we've mentioned him just now. Robbie Gross will be our special guest for this evening's festivities. And we've been dying to have him on. We've had him on a couple times in the past. We've been dying to have him on. And he's going to give his always astute and entertaining analysis of the team from his point of view. Robbie, of course, the co-host of the Sports on the Hill podcast that airs every Monday evening on Facebook Live and through True Radio. And, of course, Anna is a featured part of that. As I always say, you can't get enough of Anna. There you go.
Which people usually respond, I have heard enough Anna and seen enough Anna that I'm good. But it's all good. All right. So moving on. Sorry, I keep
moving on. So that's fine. That's fine. So there are three fan-based issues that I want to get into real quick. The first of which I want to get out of the way because I know this is going to open up a can of worms. The White House visit. I just want to say one thing about it, and that's the fact that I'm not going to point a finger at a particular fan nor a group of fans. However, I will have to say that I am annoyed as fuck and deeply saddened and disappointed that something like this was allowed to divide us as a fan base. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Anna, if you have any thoughts about it, you're welcome to chime in.
Wow. I feel like you're a little vague.
What? Okay. You want,
bring it on. Come on. We're talking about Tom Wilson. Let's go. Let's drop the gloves. Let's hear what you have to say. Not that I'm going to challenge you, but I don't want to
call anybody out. And believe me, there are a few people I could name off the top of my head that I could call out.
Okay.
For being divisive, but I'm not going to do that. Let's just
Are these fans that think all the players should have gone and sucked it up, or are these fans that they should have never gone?
Both.
Okay.
It's both sides. That's why I can't single out anybody or any one group.
Gotcha.
Okay. Come on. I mean, there was one fan who called Braden Holtby a douchebag for skipping the visit. Come on.
That's not okay with me.
What is wrong with you?
All right.
You're a Caps fan? You say you're a Caps fan and you do that? I don't think so. Is that a little less, vagary?
If that's a word, sure.
Yeah.
I honestly, when it comes to politics and certainly when it comes to sports, it's, it's just one of those things where it's like, I don't want to listen to, celebrities tell me how to vote. I don't want to listen to athletes tell me how to vote and things like that. When it comes to the actual politicians, when it comes to things that I wholeheartedly feel strongly about, and I'm a huge supporter of gay rights and huge supporter of Braden Holtby and his wife, for as much as they, they go out there and, he's been like, praised beyond belief for the amount of times that he's gone and prayed and what he's done for the, lesbian, gay, queer, transgender community, that I support his choice to say, I can't go and be in the same room with the president of the United States, who is completely against all these people that I support. So I applaud him for doing, but I applaud him mainly because people would have, of course, recognized if Braden Holtby wasn't there. Of course, they would have looked in the photos because, he's one player that's a staple that you would look in the group photo. But the media was hounding him and asking. And I thought he was so poised and so humbled and so articulate in expressing why he didn't go. And it didn't have to be, he didn't have to get all fired up. He didn't say anything negative about Trump or anything like that. He just simply said, he couldn't go because he's got these beliefs. And it just, for lack of better words, it just would have been, kind of a double standard. And how can you not respect that? He didn't say anything negative.
Right. I feel the need to clarify my stance here. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, he should have gone I don't want to sound like I'm equivocating here, but I respect the hell out of him for taking a stand. It's better than just sitting on the sidelines and not taking part at all. Okay. Mm-hmm. I respect the hell out of him. And, I have family members and friends who are part of the LGBTQ community as well. Right. So I can honestly say, yes, I do applaud his stand. Now, as far as should he have gone anyway, I kind of wish that he did, but at the same time, I'm not in his skates. And if he wants to say that, well, look, my being there would have been a double standard. It would have been, not comfortable or however it was he phrased it. I think double standard kind of described it fairly well. I respect that. in this country, we are entitled to our opinions, and we have, according to the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, the freedom to express those opinions as long as it doesn't do any harm. And that's, I mean, that through not going, that's all he did. And of course, don't want to put the focus just on him. It was, of course, also Devontae Smith-Pelly, as well as Brett Conley, who abstained. And they're also taking a stand. What I have a problem with is people who use that to drive a wedge between different groups of fans because they're different from themselves. That's my big thing. And I'm going to get into that a little bit more in my other issue, one of my other issues, but that's my main problem with all of this.
Well, I mean, and that's fine. And I feel like I can't help but respect Holtby or Smith-Pelly or Conley, Grubauer. You know, if you're in uniform and you're on the ice and you're representing a community or you stand strongly against something, when you take the uniform off and you step out of the arena, you should still be still feel the same. Like, it shouldn't change. Like, you shouldn't be in a, you know, like, put a uniform on and all of a sudden you're pro this and whatever and take it off and you're like, oh, I'm not so sure. So I respect the fact that it carried on. I don't see why people find it offensive, because if you're going to get political about it, then you're going to have a laundry list of reasons why the president is offensive to certain groups. I feel like there wasn't anybody amongst the players that were named that were trashing players or trashing their the Capitals for going. There wasn't anything like that.
Right. So that's the thing. The team was still united.
Exactly. Well, and here's the thing is, like, Holtby has, when he was interviewed, and like I said, I wish people would go and see what he has to say, whether you support it or not. And, you know, basically, you know, come in and say this is what he supports, but that he knows that his brothers and his teammates are going to the White House and it's not going to change anything about their relationship as, you know, a family, as teammates, as when they're on the ice and off the ice. It doesn't change anything. So I don't know why, like, people feel like it's necessary to, you know, hate on Holtby for something. It's like, you know what? Seriously, like, if you like him for hockey, watch him for hockey and don't listen to the rest of the other stuff. But if you're going to listen to what he has to say about gay pride and everything else, then you have to be more open-minded. So,
yes, I agree with that. And
sorry,
and
for just the to kind of,
no, that's fine. That's fine. That's why, you know, we're both kind of, you know, standing on that on tiptoe, at least. So I just want to close that out. I just want to be present a balanced front on this issue from the other side of things. Pardon me. There were those who basically made it out that the Capitals did something, committed this horrible sin, and they made it out that the Capitals were supporting this administration, the current administration. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Yes. But you have to admit, with all the controversy that is with the current administration, or how things are being, you know, things that are being reported in the news and things that have happened in this current administration, it is difficult to, if you don't agree with the administration and who is in office, to then say that you're happy for them to go. Should you say, I'm happy that they had an opportunity to go to White House, this historical moment, Stanley Cup champions, you know, White House is in DC, the teams from DC, how fantastic and nostalgic and all these, you know, terms that you want to think of. Yes, we all wish it could be like that. But unfortunately, with the media and everything else that has happened since this administration has come into office, you are going to have fired up people on either end. And it's going to be very difficult to have them say, oh, you know, like, I hate the president, but they should go out of respect because it's, you know, he's our president. It's very difficult to, you know, to draw a line in the sand. I feel, especially with this administration, I don't think we've seen it this bad before. And I think people are very vocal about their opinions. So I think, you know, people got a little fired up. I just want to look at it like, hey, listen, this is what happens when sports teams win, you know, the top of trophy event, playoff, whatever you want to call it, whether it's, you know, World Series, you know, it's like the Super Bowl. Teams get invited to the current administration's White House event. That's it. That's what America does. And so then you go and you celebrate your Stanley Cup win as a team united. Unfortunately, it's just not that easy with the current administration.
Well, I think the team did a very good job in presenting a united front regardless. What I'm disappointed in is the elements on both sides of our fan base that did not.
I agree.
And yeah. So I was gonna go over a couple of topics, a couple more topics, but I'm not gonna hold him back any longer. Robbie has an opinion on this. I'm gonna bring him on right now and have him speak about this and my second issue here. So let's bring him on right now. Okay, Robbie, can you hear me?
Yes, you've been doing great. I've been enjoying this entire podcast, and I appreciate coming back on the show once again.
Awesome.
Okay, so yeah, you just texted me while you were listening. You obviously have some strong opinions on this, so we'd love to hear that. Now, go ahead, fire away.
Yeah, no, it's a tough debate. I think you guys have outlined it well from both sides. I mean, obviously my personal political views and what I think the team should do are obviously could be very different. And what I think Holpe has the right to do, you know, I think that he's fine by doing that. I'm really frustrated at a bunch of news outlets. I think you sort of skated around it a little bit, but Russian Machine Never Breaks did a lot of posting on this. And, you know, they got a lot of comments and a lot of traction and a lot of eyeballs on their blog, but it does do a lot of division, as you were talking about, within the fan base. And then, you know, other news outlets see that, and, you know, they also copy that. I mean, NBC Sports Washington, they all the news outlets that are covering this, they're sort of oversaturating the market because they see that it's a buzz topic and people will talk about it in the comments and they'll react and, you know, and it gets, you know, more views and shares. And, you know, in a world where podcasts like Sports on the Hill podcast, and the Power Play Point podcast, you know, exist, you know, they're trying to find ways to sensationalize the media. And, you know, one way to get views is to pit, you know, our own fan base against itself, which is really frustrating because, you know, it's why our motto on Sports on the Hill has always been, you know, DC sports without the politics, where we, you know, and Carol and I are both very political-minded people, but we try to keep our politics out of it and sort of have a fair and balanced discussion like you guys do, you know, about the topics at hand instead of trying to, you know, insert politics here and there. But I have to say, personally, I've gotten sucked into the comments of a lot of these, even on Russian Machine and a bunch of other ones, and get sucked into the comments of these people. And, you know, I'm arguing with people on both sides of the issue because I'm like, you guys are both sounding ridiculous. And it's just frustrating because, you know, we just won the Stanley Cup. You know, how can we let this be a reason to divide us, especially going into a chance to repeat? Because we have a really good opportunity, you know, and I really wish that we didn't take yesterday's game off because, you know, we actually played well at the end there. I thought the resurgence and like the last 20 minutes, I felt like if we played that way for 60, we would have won that game and clinched a spot. And now we have to hold our breath for the Thursday game because if we don't win that one, then the game I'm going to on Saturday is going to mean an awful lot and for the division, which, you know, it's something that would be exciting to see, to take my dad to a game like that. But, you know, for my dad and my heart, you know, I don't want to necessarily go to a division deciding game on Saturday. So There's a lot in Caps world. I mean, you guys have broken down a ton of different topics, but the Tampa Bay game was great. And there's just so much going on in Caps world right now.
Well, first of all, let me say this. This is why we need to have you on more often, because you pretty much said it all just now. So want to thank you again for coming on with us. I know it was a bit of a strain on your schedule, but you nailed it just now. Absolutely. I could not be more disgusted with the two sides of the fan base about this. And yeah, we do try to see the whole point of view. We do try to make sure that we as an entire fan base are united. I saw the Twitter wars. I saw the Facebook comments, and it was just awful. I couldn't believe what we were doing to ourselves. And you mentioned Russian Machine. They're at the focal point of my second topic. I heard you say you're going to the game Saturday.
I am. I'm really excited. So it was going to be Zach's first ever hockey game, right? That was my plan four months ago. When I had originally, bought the tickets, like, oh, it's going to be a good division matchup, it could be exciting, whatever. And, seats were on sale, and I was like, let me just go get them. I'll go with Liz. But we didn't realize as we double booked ourselves. Liz had an event that she had to go to that night that I was supposed to go with her. So we split dates. So my mom is going with her, and my dad is going with me, and we're going to get a babysitter for Zach, because Zach will be asleep at 7 o'clock, which is something I had not fully considered 4 months ago when I bought the tickets. So instead of going with my son, I'm very excited. My dad's taken me to games dating all the way back to 1998 when he took me to the Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. He's the one who got me into the Capitals. So it'll be very fun to take him to a potential division-deciding game, which I hope is not one in the sense that I hope that we clinch before then. But, I'm very excited to go on Saturday.
Well, sir, you and I are going to have to meet up, because I am also going to that game.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, courtesy of the wonderful Ms. Maribel Gray, who organized Becca Thomas's funeral. I am going as her guest. Maribel is a season ticket holder, and so we'll be in section 105. For that game. So yeah. I'd like to see if we can meet up maybe at least during the game. Definitely at the game before she and I are doing a thing beforehand with the not with the fan club, but we're meeting up at Clyde's first, and then we're going over to the game, but definitely during if we can find each other. So that'd be great.
And I'm just going to interject here that Carol and I are going to find time to meet up during the game. Just so we can, maybe buy Tom Wilson jerseys and have beers on the street or something. It's all good.
That was pretty great last night with you getting him with the Tom Wilson joke. I did appreciate April Fool's. So,
it was, and you know what? What's even better is when I told him today, he's like, oh, I don't even remember what I said. He's like, I had so many adult beverages. I said, if you go back and watch your face, and me talking about Tom Wilson in his birthday suit, you're like, what? It was brilliant. So good call on your end. I wasn't sure I could pull it off, but I think we pulled it off and Carol was stumped. It was great.
If anyone missed it, they can check their season 4 premiere out. That was a fun show on sports.thp.com, which you guys have been on too. And by the way, people are clicking on it, and I appreciate people for doing that. On we have a Power Play Point podcast button on sports.thp.com that is loads your stuff in really well. It's actually how I listen to the show often. So
sweet.
Want to thank you and Carol again for posting that link. And allowing us to piggyback on you guys' show, boosted us a little bit. So definitely appreciate you guys doing that for us.
For sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, I love your show so much. I just it's always difficult to record two shows back to back. I'm always impressed that Anna can pull it off. I only get an hour with my son, so I sort of have to take it when I can.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm fortunate this week they're off on a vacation, so I got my Tuesday night free, and we were able to do this. And so I appreciate you guys for being able to move it around. And, yeah, I always have enjoyed your conversations, and I listen to you guys while I'm at work, so it's always a fun listen.
Oh, our pleasure. Our pleasure.
Much,
yes, very much so. Okay, so with that, we'll get into the second topic I had planned. And this, well, this was already mentioned in part by Robbie, but in general covers one of Anna's pet peeves, and that's what gets put out on social media. Mm-hmm. So I have to kind of, I try not to belabor the point, but we are, as a fan base, more global than ever. What I mean by that is we're everywhere, and literally everywhere. I personally know of Caps fans that live in the UK. We just talked with one last week. I know of one in France that I've corresponded with back and forth over the years. And I know of some in Brazil, for crying out loud. You know, so we definitely have a presence literally around the world, and that means online and in social media. And we were talking about it before how we ought not be divided, okay? But the fact is, when you're global like that, you kind of have to go for your a niche audience. And so we do have kind of subdivisions, so I have to explain that. Robbie was mentioning the podcasting world, which is basically what we work in. So there's several groups of that. There's NBCSN DC, and that's your insider's point of view. There's Japers Rink, which started out as an SB blog. They have their own podcast. Their point of view is hockey from an intellectual and analytical point of view. So if that's your bag, then you go there. And then there's Russian Machine Never Breaks, who started out as a blog. They blog as they also have their own podcast now. So they've also dipped their foot into that lake. And that's where you know, the issue with that Robbie had comes into play here. You know, I get that we can all be different people. And I like that. I like that we have diverse points of view. We celebrate that here. But the problem I have is that, you know, as Robbie alluded to, that, you know, when you're that big a blog, when you have that wide an audience, it kind of behooves you to try and present things in the best light. And they didn't do that. They really dropped the ball on that. They should have been, I thought, more representative of the Caps fan at large. And as a consequence, from people like Robbie and me at times and others, they've taken a lot of heat for it, a lot of flack for it. And so basically the point I want to make is, you know, and they kind of snarkily responded back, but the point I'm trying to make here is that, look, guys at RMNB, you know, I get that we're small potatoes and you're, you know, gods as far as the blogosphere and maybe the podcasting world, but if you don't want to get called out for stupid shit, then don't do stupid shit is the point I'm trying to make. Okay. You guys need to be a bit more representative of the fact that we are a global fan base. And that's what I'm taking you to task on now. I think you take way too much time in what's going to get the clickbait, what's going to get people to the website, what's going to make people leave a comment versus what is actually the truth, you know, what's actually going on with the team. You know, I mentioned our points of view. We at least provide analysis of the team and what they do on the ice. Yes, we cover some stuff off the ice, but we at least can be trusted, I think, as can Sports on the Hill, for that matter. We both can be trusted to present an accurate analysis of the Caps on ice play, what they're doing well, what they're not doing well. But I think, sadly, you guys at Russian Machine need to step up that part of your game, because I fail to see how you guys can be taken seriously. And I think that's the point that Robbie was trying to make with his criticism. And that's just, you know, sorry, but you guys aren't cutting it, and I think it'll be to your detriment, or at least I hope. So
yeah, I want to jump in here real quickly because I totally agree with all of what you're saying, and my frustration, and when I started to jump in on them and like call them out a little bit on this, was when they are putting out articles about when Holpe is going to make an announcement. Right? And then they have another article about, obviously, the announcement. But it's like, when you're starting to have to generate content about future content for future content, you know, it's kind of a ridiculous oversaturation of the marketplace just to stir up controversy in your comment section. And, you know, and then I threw that out there. I said, you know, you guys could just, you know, release a final list of who's going and who's not. And, you know, this is why people are getting very frustrated with your, you know, because in a bunch of groups that we're in, True Caps Fan, the Sin Bin, I'm in a ton of different groups that all were saying that they're just getting ridiculous with this. And so I wanted to go to them and say, look, people in comment sections are calling you out and they're starting not to trust you as a like potential news source, which I am a huge Russian Machine Never Breaks fan. And I have been since they started. And I've been one of their original people. And that's what's really frustrating to me is that I went to them for source because I liked that they had content that was a little lighter and a little bit more broad and a little bit, you know, where I get a lot of my information from them. But sometimes you can oversaturate the market, and that's where it gets really dangerous. And that's what they were doing, and they were just doing it to divide up the Caps fans. And then I got flack being like, oh, you know, you're a Trump supporter or you're not a Trump supporter. I was like, I never said what political side I was on. I literally was just saying I don't think that this should be the debate that we're having right now. And, you know, and people attacked me from both sides. And I was like, wow, I don't think you get the point of the message. And, you know, and I encourage people to come listen to both of our podcasts to get a less biased, you know, point of view, because it's not even about whether or not I agree or don't agree with the president. It's the fact that I was happy in some ways that the Capitals went to the White House because, you know, we won the Stanley Cup and it was really, you know, no D.C. team had been to the White House to celebrate a championship since I believe D.C. United did it. And, you know, so it's been a while, and so I wanted to, as a D.C. team, and celebrate that. I'm not the president's biggest fan. I wouldn't have gone. I totally understand Holpe's point of view. You know, I'm a big supporter of gay rights personally, you know, and I totally get where he's coming from there.
Right, absolutely, and it's, you know, it's also the fact that they're getting away from the fact that it's a hockey team. It's a hockey team. You know, they've named the blog after Ovechkin, you know, obviously. And okay, and that's great. We get that. But, you know, and they realize there's more to the team than him. They focus on a lot of players and what they do off the ice. And that's, you know, all ha-ha funny, and that's great. But they're, like you were saying, they're getting further and further away from the mission, which is to point out all of the good that this team does. And that's how our, you know, that's why our two shows even exist, is to pick up that slack, you know, because now it just seems like you said, they are just going after whatever's going to stir up the comments, the clickbait or whatever. And it's kind of sad to see, because when they started out, they were a worthy news source, but they're getting so far away from what the team is all about, they're just unrecognizable anymore. And
I actually kind of think that they should go back to just talking about Russian things. They were at their best when they tried to pigeonhole that, because it was kind of quirky and funny, you know, like focus on Orlov sucking and Ovi doing great and Kuzi sometimes doing great and sometimes sucking, right? Talk about that more, you know, like that. I actually went to your site for that kind of content. And like the second that they try to go broader, which I understand as a Caps fan, I like the broader content, but it only went downhill, in my opinion, from the content point of view.
Yeah, I totally agree, and Anna, I'm not going to ask you to jump in here because we kind of discussed this beforehand, and you pretty much said you have absolutely no opinion on that plot whatsoever.
You know, it just really comes down to Do I follow them? Yes. Do I like all their material? Absolutely not. But that goes along with a lot of things. Or, you know, it's like sometimes you just want to follow you know, someone like a Rob Carlin, you know, an Alan May, and say like, oh, I'm going to follow these guys because they're going to give some fun little, you know, interview or a narrative on something or whatever, an opinion. And I respect that. With these guys, I don't know. Like, I just really, I can honestly say, I just don't care. I just don't have an opinion either way. You know, they obviously got quite huge with, you know, post Stanley Cup, and all I ever see on their site is, well, not all I ever see, but the majority of the stuff I see is just the same stuff I see from the players and the wives on Instagram. You know, so it's like, well, I've already seen this, and they're just taking it and putting it on their site. So whatever. It's just, yeah, it's, I don't know. I just don't think we even need to give it that much more time.
No, yeah. I totally agree. But yeah, it was kind of a sore point with us both.
I totally get that.
And that's why, that's why I kind of felt the need to talk about it. But one more quick topic I'd like to throw out there also about general fan behavior. And that something I'm noticing is starting to ramp up a bit in Twitter, in Facebook rooms, all over the place, is the distinction that a lot of fans can't seem to make between bandwagon behavior versus informed criticism when the team doesn't perform well. So if someone throws out a blanket statement, says, oh, this team is going back to their old ways, they'll never win anything, that's a bandwagoner talking. That's a less informed person that's not actually watching the game. They're watching the scoreboard. They see one play on a highlight reel and they think, here go the Caps again, versus an informed fan who reads through the stats, watches the whole game, studies, both, statistics and intangibles, body language, things like that, strategies, like the lockers replays. You want to learn something? Watch in between periods for when Craig Lachlan analyzes a goal, whether it's against or for, and something like that. So educate yourselves is all I'm asking to do before you lash out and say something you probably are going to regret, is my message as far as that goes.
I completely understand your frustration, and I won't speak for Robbie, but he may understand where I'm coming from, you know, being a sports fan for other than just hockey, you know, liking other sports and whatnot. Unfortunately, this is just how it is. There are bandwagon fans freaking wherever you go. And is it frustrating and annoying? Of course it is. But it is what it is, you know. It's like, and that's the problem with the, you know, again, coming back to social media, is that people can hide behind their phones, put out a ridiculous tweet or Facebook message or Snap, whatever the hell is out there right now, and say something so bold and ballsy and, you know, kind of stir the pot, and, you know, not have to talk to the person face to face to say, you know, well, what the hell, what's your reasoning? You know, give me the facts, give me the stats. So unfortunately, that just seems to be the day and age. I mean, it's, you know, you wait, you know, with all the talk these days with, you know, Bryce Harper going to the Phillies, and, you know, you have fans that all of a sudden, you know, want to be Nats fans just because it's the talk of the town right now, or you've got the Wizards that are doing well, or, you know, it's just like, that's just how it is. And it's unfortunate, but it's part of being a, you know, a sports fan. You're going to all of a sudden see that coworker that, you know, you've worked with and talked to and seen for the last couple of years. And all of a sudden they're coming in with, you know, a Oshie jersey, and you're like, really, poser? Like, what's that about? But that's just, you know, and you kind of just want to then go back and say, hey, listen, if you're going to pull for the team that I'm the most passionate about, I support that, and as long as you're positive about it, but don't come in here and, you know, talking shit about something that you don't know anything about. So it's just, exactly. It is, you know, yeah. So I see where you're coming from, but unfortunately there's too many people that hide behind electronics, you know, these trolls and stuff that just want to stir the pot just because they think it's funny. And, you know, they get these people responding and, you know, so much hatred gets exchanged. It's like, come on, people. Let's get back to rocking the red and, you know, Stanley Cup and that parade and how you had, you know, 100,000 people in downtown DC and there were no arrests. You know, there was no riots. There were no, you know, cars weren't on fire being tipped over or whatever. That to me is, you know, a DC fan base that united, whether they only watched the Stanley Cup or they've been there since 1974. You know, it's like, keep it together, but keep the politics out of it.
Yeah, I think you said it all. So, Robbie, I want to turn it over to you. I don't know if you've noticed anything like that as far as what I've seen, but if you have, do you have any comment on that?
You know, there are a lot of different types of fans in the world. You know, I am a bleeding heart, diehard one that, you know, like, you know, gets up and down with the teams. And, you know, there are people that are like Carol and exist in the world that are, you know, by the facts, you know, can analyze stuff, gets less emotional. I don't want to say not zero emotion, because there's always emotion when you have a team that you root for. But, you know, so there's a whole range, and there's people that are new to teams and people who have been around teams for so long. I watch such a variety of sports, and I feel like the fans in each sport have some aspects that are the same and some aspects that are very different about them. You know, obviously, I think that the fans of teams that are in physical sports like football and hockey act some slightly differently than, you know, baseball fans, you know, maybe would. But it's hard. You know, there's examples throughout our fan base. I was talking to friends about this. There are Caps fans that I really don't like, you know, and that's sad because they're Caps fans. And then there's Penguins fans that I like as people, you know.
Right.
You know, and difficult because, you know, you want to easily be like, you like all Capitals fans because they root for the same team and you hate all Penguins fans because they root for the enemy, you know? But it's not necessarily always black and white. You know, this Bryce Harper thing brings up a lot of emotions in a different sport. You know, a lot of fans are very torn. You know, half the people are about to boo him. He's about to take his first at bat as a Philly, you know, and the other people are like, no, applaud him. He did good things, and he's just going for a contract. And the same situations happen with players going for contracts in hockey as well. And mm-hmm. It's frustrating because, you know, Harper's done a lot of good. And he said a lot of right things today. I've heard all the interviews. And, you know, I cover more baseball on, you know, the other podcasts. But, yeah, there's a lot of parallels I see in Washington, D.C. fans, right? Because they're both fans. There's a lot of fans of the Nationals and the Capitals. A lot of people were pissed when Bryce Harper, you know, was a Vegas fan, right? And
right.
A lot of people that are right. And that would probably find it really easy to root for him right now. But there's other people that are like, hey, Bryce Harper was an MVP and he put D.C. on the map and he won the home run derby last year when we had it in D.C. to make it exciting. You know, there are some good that he's done and he took a contract that was better for him that Washington just couldn't match. And, you know, that's the business of it, too, which is kind of frustrating. But, you know, DC wanted to pay him over the next 30 years, and he wanted to get paid over the next 10, and I understand that.
Yeah. And I think you hit it spot on. It is a business. It is a business, and a lot of us seem to forget that, you know, hey, you wake up, and you're putting on a Capitals jersey, and, you know, this, and rocking the red, and, you know, having chemistry, and brotherhood love and whatnot with your teammates, and you know, then all of a sudden you get traded and you're, you know, in New Jersey or you're in God forbid Penguins, and it happens. You know, it's just, it is the nature of the sport. But sometimes I feel that, again, people hide behind electronics and become quite the trolls, and quite, they take it to a level it doesn't need to go to. You know, it's fine if you don't agree with Harper, or, you know, somebody on our team leaves, fine. You don't want to wish them well. I get it. But, you know, sometimes then it just becomes, you know, nasty, and it just doesn't need to get to that level.
Very true. And again, it's disappointing to see fans of the same base dividing themselves over something that ends up being so trivial, but
all right.
it happens, and it happens all too frequently. Okay, so got a little bit of time left, and so I want to devote that to, well, there's only two games left, but I wanted to get at least something of a playoff preview. Now, the standings, of course, aren't set in stone because there is one team beyond the top eight that is still alive, that being the Montreal Canadiens, who, amazingly enough, the Caps are playing on Thursday as one of their last two games. So let me see if I can pull up the standings here. Okay, so obviously the Caps and the Islanders have clinched a playoff spot. Pittsburgh has yet to clinch, but they have three games left, so I'm sure they'll clinch soon. In the two wildcard spots are the CBJ and Carolina right now, with Montreal, the odd team out. They all have, at the moment, three games left to play. I'm going to start with you, Robbie.
Got a couple of things I wanted to jump in real quickly and talk about.
Sure,
like,
sure.
That just sort of stand out in my mind. First of all, this Boston-Columbus game, as they were taping, is a phenomenal game where we had a Bobrovsky horrible gaffe really early on to put them behind. They're behind 2-0 in this live game, and it's a great game. And it has actually a lot of importance because there's a lot of fluidity over this last week of where these teams are going to fall. And I've done some analysis of each one of their schedules because I knew I was coming on this show tonight, and I thought it'd be interesting to talk a little bit about that. Obviously, the Islanders versus Pittsburgh is the most likely matchup in the Metropolitan, and then the most likely is the Capitals take the number one spot, and then they'd either play Columbus, Carolina, or Montreal, right? So Montreal's got a really tough road. They have a terribly difficult week. Carolina didn't do themselves any favors. If they had beaten Pittsburgh, they actually had a shot that if Pittsburgh had lost all the games in the final week and Carolina won all of them, that Carolina could have jumped Pittsburgh. And there was actually even a situation where we'd have to lose to Montreal, that Pittsburgh would be out of the playoffs altogether, where they hadn't clinched. But unfortunately, they do have a pretty easy week. They have a home-and-home against Detroit, and then they play the Rangers. So, those are pretty easy. Columbus has got a pretty tough matchup, including this Boston team. It's giving them fits right now in Columbus. But Columbus has been the hottest team coming into this game, where they've won, I believe, five in a row, and a couple of shutouts for Bobrovsky. So that's why I was laughing at that gaffe. So each one of them is really interesting. The Islanders had an opportunity to move up against Washington last night, but they failed to do so in a great game against Toronto. That was a close game where Toronto needed 1 point to clinch. They ended up taking both in regulation, which we were rooting so heavily for. We were having a party here for the Season 4 premiere that I talked about that was on Monday, and we were rooting for the Caps to come back, but we were also just as hard rooting for Toronto to win, because if Toronto wins in regulation, it didn't matter if the Caps lost. I mean, it matters, but not, they weren't going to gain standings points. So, it's very tight at the top. Washington's got 102-99. So what that means is, if the Islanders and Washington both lose on Thursday, Caps clinch. If the Washington and Islanders both win on Thursday, so win or lose, Caps clinch. But the issue comes if Washington only gets 1 point or zero and the Islanders get two, then that sets up the stage for that final game on Saturday being for the division. But Pittsburgh's right there at 97 as well. I don't think they do have one extra game, so they're still in play as well. So there's so much that could happen. I think Montreal is going to be the odd team out, but Carolina is only 1 point in front of them, and Columbus is 2 points in front of them. So it's all very close in the wild card matchup.
So real quick, Robbie, out of the three potential wild card teams that the Caps could play, which one do you think the Caps match up best against?
Actually still four, which is crazy, because Pittsburgh could still fall down to that spot.
True.
They're only at 97.
True.
So I hate to play Pittsburgh the most. I know that's kind of a cop-out because I don't think that they're going to fall that far because of that home-and-home with Detroit, but you never know. I mean, sometimes teams like to play spoilers. So Pittsburgh is by far away the team I don't want to play in the first round just because we have such a horrible history against them. You know, I know that we beat them last year. I know that we need to beat them if that's – every time Pittsburgh or Washington has ever won the Stanley Cup, they had to go through the opponent, right? So – would it be just for us to win back to back without playing them? I wouldn't complain, you know. So, I really like that Islanders Pittsburgh matchup. I hope that that happens. I hope Barry Trotz is able to knock them out. Between Columbus, Carolina, and Montreal scares me the least. So I kind of hope that they sneak in there, but it would be hard for them to jump into that wild card spot. You know, they're more likely to slate Tampa Bay if they make it. Columbus is a tough out. You know, they've never won a series. Carolina is a fun team, but they haven't really been in the playoffs. You know, we'd have to play against Justin Williams. Each team has a potential difficulty for the Capitals, but I think the team that I'd most want to see would either be Carolina or Montreal just because of their lack of experience. You know, Columbus was in it last year. They almost beat us in that series. You know, we had to go to double overtime in a game three to salvage that series and then go on a crazy four-game-in-a-row tear. But you know, if that double overtime goes a different way and we're down 0-3, we might not be holding the cup at the end of the season. So, Columbus is always very dangerous and they're on a tear right now. So I'd rather not play Columbus or Pittsburgh. I'd rather play Carolina or Montreal. But of all four, I would say Montreal would be the best if we could slate that.
Okay, fair enough. Anna, what about you? What do you think?
Oh, I think I'd like to see us play Carolina. I don't know. There's something about the two games that they played this last week that I think that they kind of they're getting the team. They're you know, the Capitals are able to figure out what exactly needs to be done. And I think it was I think it's a good matchup. Again, you know, they do like Ravi just said, they are that fun team, but they're also, you know, not a team to take lightly. I think it's a good matchup. I think it's pretty even. Montreal would be. I would put Carolina first, and then go the Montreal second.
So my answer to this is I agree totally. I don't want to see Pittsburgh in the first round at all. The Caps have always been a slow to warm up team in the playoffs. The second season is no different. So that would be a little too much of an ask, even for a defending cup champion. So start out slow with one of the three teams that are occupying those last three spots now. So out of those three, I don't know. It's kind of interesting. They all match up a certain way. Carolina doesn't look all that scary, but they would be Cinderella at the ball. They would just be happy to get in, playing with house money. Nothing to lose, whatever cliche you want to throw out there. So in that sense, they can be dangerous. I don't see them being a potential upset team, but you never know. But I wouldn't pick them in any first round series, really. They might win a couple games, but I wouldn't be too terrified of them. Columbus is starting to put it together, as Robbie mentioned. They've made, all of those moves at the trade deadline to beef up their team. They're all in for this year because they're going to lose, you know, three or four guys to free agency. And so they're on a hot streak. They don't really scare me. I don't think they have what it takes to outlast any team in what's going to be a 6 or 7 game series. They will play a team very tough, I think, obviously, but I still don't think they have quite enough scoring. And Sergei Bobrovsky has never proven to me that he is truly a playoff goaltender, a la Tuukka Rask, Braden Holtby, Marc-Andre Fleury. I could throw out a whole lot of names. I don't think Bobrovsky ranks anywhere near those guys. So that doesn't scare me. And then you have Montreal, who is probably the most interesting matchup of all because, well, they have history with us too, and none of it's good. And so I kind of want to see them go in so we can erase that. Also, the two or three games they've played, Caps didn't look all that good. So that would be an opportunity for them to show, okay, we've made our mistakes in the regular season. Now we're kicking it up a notch. Kick it up a notch in the playoffs, the second season, and we are a better team now than we were then. So I kind of want to see that, but I wouldn't cry any tears if they missed the playoffs either. So that's my answer as far as that goes.
I just wanted to ask one follow-up, because if you want to play Montreal, you have to lose to them on Thursday.
Right.
You know, so that's an interesting, and that could set up a lot of drama for Saturday for us. But, you know, it's interesting, because if you beat them Thursday, there's probably no chance of them making it in.
Yeah, very, very true. I did just think of that. But I kind of, you know, since you and I kind of selfish, but since you and I are going to that game, you know, and it being the last game and first place being on the line, maybe they, you know, they'll ramp up their best effort and bring their A game and, you know, make it entertaining to watch. So kind of
Carol and I will be watching from a bar outside. just to bring that up one more time. We'll be, I don't know, sure. Not maybe, probably not Clyde's, but we can find something to have some beers and we'll watch you guys. It's all good.
Sure.
Not jealous.
Okay. I hear you. But I just thought that. So yeah, I mean, I don't want to see them lose Thursday, but you got a point there. So, you know, maybe not, but like I said, if they make it, they don't make it. I mean, not going to cry any tears. I'm not really afraid of any team in any sense, except for Pittsburgh in the first round, because, you know, like I said, I don't know how well they'd match up. Let Pittsburgh make it through their first round against somebody else and get banged up and bruised up and have to go through a war on that end before we meet up with them in the division final, and then, you know, come back to me would be my answer for that. Okay. So with that,
don't lose these last two games, because that's like my real fear though, is if Washington were to drop both games, and then they'd have to play Pittsburgh as the 2-3 matchup, you know? So
yeah.
You got to be careful here. Like, you haven't shored up anything yet, you know? So
right. That would be the best way to play Pittsburgh. You're absolutely right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But the key, as always, will be how well you go into, even if you lose, how well you're playing going into the playoffs, carrying that momentum. That's always the key. So I definitely don't want to see what we all saw in the first 40 minutes of last night's game again, at least as far as from now till whatever happens, you know, God forbid they're lifting the cup again in June. Okay. So with that, we've gone over on time here, so we're going to need to wrap it up here. Robbie, want to thank you again for coming on, be an absolutely awesome guest. And I'm going to try and get this out tonight, but most likely it'll be tomorrow morning. It's Tuesday, Wednesday, April the 2nd, as we're recording this. Just gonna end it here. So for both Robbie Gross and Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that if you want to make holy water, you have to boil the hell out of it first.
I'm sorry, Robbie.
it's fun.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
that's a keeper.
Bloopers and then some.
Yeah.